God. It is not officially December, but it's the first Sunday of the holiday season. And Christmas is nigh upon us. It's awesome. Josh has been listening to Christmas music since July, but that's okay. I actually turned on Christmas music yesterday. Anyone else started your Christmas music? Okay. How many of you waited till at least after Thanksgiving? All right. Good deal. And so one of the things that always tickles me and is every year we get into the Keeping Christ in Christmas. And I'm teaching a four-part series in the 9 o'clock hour this month on the gifts of God. And this morning we were talking about the fact that the only thing, the only commodity, the only organization, the only business that you and I have absolute 100% authority over is us. And the way that we keep Christ at Christmas is we keep Christ first and foremost in our lives, and we'll let everybody. I don't have authority over JCPenney's. If I did, I'd probably change that up a little bit. I don't have authorities over Starbucks, although I will be having coffee from there later. But one of the things I wanted to think about today is this. As we enter into the Christmas season, like I said, I've been in the holiday season since the end of September. The last three months of the year for me is holiday season. I love the last 3 months. But now we're in the Christmas season. And so one of the things I was thinking about in preparation for today is this. Is what is the answer that we as Christians give when someone truly asks, what child is this? Because I know, myself included, if we're not careful, you and I can get so caught up in the things of Christmas that we may set aside or not intentionally, but diminish the purpose of Christmas. And when someone asks us, well, what's Christmas about? There's 1,000 good things, but there's only one best thing. And the question we need to remind ourselves is this, is what makes him best? How do we share with the world that asks the question, what child is this? Because whether you're a believer or a non-believer or anywhere in between, Christmas always includes a manger, and the manger always includes a baby. It's just the way it is. And so the question is what child is this? So let me ask you a question. Does anyone here have a good puppy dog at home? All right. Jason's got a good puppy dog. He had two. Then he had one temporarily. Then he had two again. How many of you have kitty cats? How many cat people? Okay. Okay, who has something other than those two? What do you have?
Cat turtles.
Turtles. Okay. What?
I don't think fish count.
So fish? No, fish. Fish count. You're responsible for them, and they bring you enjoyment, right? Okay. Well, they do. Got kids? Well, yeah, that's an expensive pet. So we don't have anyone in here with a snake. Okay, that's ungodly. We don't have anyone in here with a spider or an iguana or a ferret.
Not by choice.
Anything like that?
Yes, they got a squirrel.
A squirrel?
Her name's Sandy.
Okay, all right. Sandy the squirrel? All right. Is that from SpongeBob?
Yes.
So let me ask you this question. Now I'm just going to narrow it down to kitty cats and puppy dogs just for the sake of time. Have you ever sat and just looked into the eye of your sweet animal? Now, the puppy dog looks into your eyes and they think, I love you. How can I serve you?
Not the cat.
The cat looks into my eyes. Yeah, my three cats will look into my eyes and they'll think, I wonder what those would taste like. But have you ever wondered, what are they thinking? And greater than that, has there ever been a time in your life, maybe when your beloved pet is in a state of distress, when you wished you could talk to them? What's going on? What made you sick? How can I help you? How can I comfort you? Have you ever wished there was a way to communicate with your beloved pet? Well, interestingly enough, is that's what Jesus did. You see, God wanted to communicate to his creation in a way that was unlike any other. God had given us creation, and we talked about that in the 9 o'clock hour. God had given us life, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come in the 9 o'clock hour. God had given us creation and all these things, but God deeply desired to be able to communicate to his creation in a unique, specific, and meaningful way.
Yes.
And the only way to do that was to become like them.
Yes.
And so today we're going to look at three things that make this child unique, all right? First of all, our focus passage is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let's read that together. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at that name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there's three things we want to think about when we ask the question, what child is this? Now, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of children born every day, and there'll be thousands of children born on Christmas Day. But what makes Jesus unique? Well, first of all, the fact that Jesus existed. Now, Jesus existed before the incarnation, correct?
Yes.
Jesus has always existed. You see, one of the challenges you and I face is we live in a finite mentality. We see a beginning and an end. We begin when we're born, and we end when we pass, and life just goes on and on and on. But we have to understand that one of the things that makes Jesus unique is that he has always existed, and he is God and existed in the form of God. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word of God. He's the Bible walking. And before there anything else was, he was. He was with God. He is God. Also, in 2 Corinthians, we see this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We talked about that earlier today as it applies to creation. I don't know about you, but I love to look at creation, and I'm constantly amazed at the creative handiwork of God. And when you and I see things, you know, you'll look at a Christmas tree, and you could probably see several things that make you think of Jesus, the light of the world, the greenness, the evergreen, that means eternal life, the tree. Well, we always take ourselves to Easter and the crucifixion. There's so many symbols in the Christmas holiday that takes us to the Easter celebration, but not everyone sees that. The world doesn't see Christmas as you and I see it. The world doesn't see the child as you and I see him. And so the challenge that we face is keeping this light before those who are struggling to see. Not only did he exist, but also it says to be grasped, to be used of his own advantage. It said that he existed and that he laid aside his existence, his deity. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. We'll get there. Anyway, the word here is this. When Jesus was born, when Jesus was incarnate, he did not cease to be God. God never ceases to be God. Whether you and I think that he does or whether the world wants him to be is irrelevant. God never ceases to be God. But the $2 word that you can use tomorrow at work is kenosis. The word kenosis. He emptied himself. Now, I wrestled with that. I thought to myself, self, how do you illustrate kenosis? Well, here's a simple idea. Now, as an American citizen, I have certain inalienable rights. Amen? I have the right to free speech. I can say what I want to say. Now, there's an accountability for what I say, but I can say it. I have the right to what? Bear arms. I have the right to what? To vote. I have the right to own property. I have the right to non-illegal search and seizure. I have the right to due process. Amen? All of those things are my birthright. They're mine as an American. And sometimes we take those things for granted. Now, I have a little thing in my pocket here. This is called a passport. And this passport has several stamps in it from different places. And this passport says that I'm an American citizen. And because this says so, all of those inalienable rights are mine. Now, when I take this passport and I go to China, I'm still an American citizen. I still have those rights. But let me ask you this. Do I have those rights in China?
No.
Why not?
Because you'd be in China.
Because I kenosis. I kenosis. I've voluntarily laid aside all that I am by birth.
Yes.
That's glorious. The one time you have to sit closest to me.
Why do I listen to that?
So when I go to China, I still am who I am.
Amen.
But I kenosis. I submit myself to the authority of Chinese law. I submit myself to the risk of all the things that Chinese authorities may want to do to me that American authorities cannot.
Right.
So Jesus kenosis. He emptied himself that he might be among us. Now you say, Jimmy, you give up a lot to go to China and some of these other places. Well, I do, but it's temporary. Because one of the most beautiful things about going overseas is knowing I'm coming back. And one of the greatest things you'll ever hear, depending on where you've been and how long you've been there, is welcome home, Mr. Vaughn. That they say to you when you come back through immigration. So we see that Jesus always existed in the form of God, but he kenosis, he laid aside his authority to join us. Christ did not lose his authority. I'm so good, I'm ahead. Now, we're not going to take time to pepper this too long, but let me ask this. You know what we give up to kenosis to go to China. Have you ever thought about what Jesus gave up to kenosis to come to you? Now, you see, the challenge that you and I face, even as Christians, is you and I have never lived one day as Jesus has lived eternity. So you and I grasp to comprehend what life will be like in heaven. Have you ever thought what Jesus laid aside to come to you? He kenosis. What child is this? This is a child that laid everything aside that he might be everything for you and I. He also entered. Well, what did he enter? He simply accepted the limitations of his humanity. Can I ask you this? Does anyone here have arthritis? Okay, a few of you guys. All right. Can I ask you this? Is that something you would pick off a menu if you were picking something for life? Buddy, would you just kind of scroll through the menu of life? Oh, arthritis. I'll have a serving of that, please. Does anyone here have vision challenges? Okay. Paisley, how about you? You know, young lady, college graduate. Limited visibility. May I have some of that, please? Can you think of all the experiences in the human experience that if you had the choice, you'd choose not to choose? Sickness, weariness, heartache, sorrow. Think of all the things in our lives that if we had the choice, we wouldn't choose them, but they're a part of it. Jesus chose it. By kenosis, by becoming the incarnate Christ, he chose to enter into the realm of humanity and to accept all that that means. You see, one of the things you and I need to remember is, what child is this? This is a child that experienced life as you and I have lived it. If you watch my Mint Mask with a Message, there may be one coming on that. On a side note, my bride and I were at Aldi in Rockwall the other day. And we're walking down the aisle, and this lady comes walking to me, and she goes, Mint Mask with a Message. And I go, she goes, it's Monday. And I did not know who it was. And so I did what you would do. I said, oh, well, you know, my name. She goes, now remind me what your name is. Now, you know you're somebody when you've been lost into your own persona. She goes, now, what's your name? I said, well, my name's Jimmy, and this is my bride named Sherry. And I'm thinking she's going, well, my name is so-and-so. She didn't. So we parted ways, and I looked at my bride. I said, I don't have a clue who that is. So I immediately went to look on my Facebook. I know you're wondering what that means. God would enter into the frailty and the limitations of my humanity. I ask you this question. Going back to the good puppy dogs and kitty cats. Would you be willing to lay aside all that you are to become all that they are? Even with the frailties of it. Would you be willing to give away the joy of colored eyesight, vision, and all the things that animals do? Give up your opposable thumbs. I'm going to tell you what, God knew what he was doing right there, didn't he? One of my cats, Charlie, he's always down to clown, and he always tries to get my shoelaces. And I mean, he's just at it, and I go, you wish you had these, don't you? But he accepted the limitations of his humanity. He veiled his pre-incarnate glory. Do you realize we've not seen Jesus for the way that he was? If you remember in the Old Testament, Moses, he wanted to see God, and God says, you can't see me. So I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and you can just catch a glimpse. The pre-incarnate glory, he's had to envelop and close off and hide the glory that you and I can't look upon and even live. Volunteering not to use his divine prerogatives. Isn't it human nature to want to use your prerogatives? Isn't it a struggle against our nature to lay aside what is rightfully ours and not to use it? My father, when he went on a trip recently, we traded cars. And he left me his Subaru and he took my car. He was hauling something. And as we're trading cars, he goes, Jimmy, and says, I'm going to leave the handicap placard in the door for you. And I said, Dad, I cannot use that. He goes, well, I'm just leaving it there for you. I said, Dad, I can't use that. A, it's illegal. And B, I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world. Because it's not my prerogative. It's not mine to use. And Jesus voluntarily laid aside those things, and he took on the form of man. Now, listen, I can't explain to you the math, but this is what I know, is that Jesus is 100% you and me, and still 100% God.
Amen.
God has the ability to put 200% into a 100% container. I can't understand it. I can't explain it, but that's the way the Bible it teaches us. God knows exactly what it's like to walk in our moccasins. And he did that out of love. What child is this? Well, also we can identify with his service and sacrifice. As a leader, we will use our privilege for the betterment of the team. Jesus is four steps into service. Jesus could have come here and demanded to be king. He could have. He had the right to. Because he is. But we see that he took a different tack. He emptied himself. He permanently became a man. Do you realize that the only thing man made in heaven are the scars on Jesus' body?
Yes.
You ever think about that?
Yes.
He still bears them today. Some 2,000 years later, the scar is still there. The spear is still there. One of these days we'll see him. and they'll still be there because he became permanently enveloped in humanity. He used his body to be a servant, a bond servant. Look what the scripture says. Do all things without grumbling. What does all mean?
All.
Is there anyone here that does all things without grumbling?
No.
I'd raise my hand, but I'd be a hypocrite. That's a pretty steep challenge, isn't it? Now let me ask you this. Anywhere in the Bible do you see where Jesus grumbled?
No.
Now, did God just leave that part out? I don't think so. The challenge that we face is this: to do all things without grumbling or dispute, that you may be blameless and innocent, child of God, without blemish in the midst of the crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as a light in the world. Holding fast to the word of life. And who's the word of life?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. He's the living word. So that in the day of Christ I may be found, that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. There's nothing worse than to do something for absolutely no reason at all. It's like boxing the wind. How about we just go outside and see if we can catch us some wind? I'll give you all hour to do it, and I'll give you $100 for each ounce of it. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice, a sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. What child is this? This is a child that was poured out without reservation, without complaining. He laid it all aside. And he took his body to the cross. It wasn't that he was just incarnated. It wasn't that he just emptied himself. It wasn't that he did it without complaint. It's that he took it all the way to the apex. What child is this? This is a child that was born to die. This is a child that walked from the cradle to the cross. This is a child that had every right to say no, but said yes. This is a child that had every right to say no to the incarnation. Do you understand that God did not owe us a Savior?
Right.
It's like Christmas. If you expect a Christmas gift, it's not a gift. It's a payment. Have you ever thought about that? As we go through this holiday season, and you find yourself thinking, well, so-and-so owes me a gift. Well, then you're not getting a gift. You're expecting payment. Because behind that, there's going to be so-and-so owes me a gift because. That's called payment. That's not a gift. A gift is unmerited. It just is. Oh, man. Don't you love those gifts that just are? The test of a submissive mind is not just how much we're willing to take in terms of suffering, but how much we are willing to give in terms of sacrifice. Jesus came from heaven to earth, from glory to shame, from master to servant, and from life to death. It's not in the suffering. It's in what we're willing to sacrifice that makes the gift really precious. The gift is really precious based on what it costs to acquire it. And if it's the little one with their hands in the paint and nothing, that's a pretty good sacrifice. That goes up. And I was sharing earlier, I have a gift in my office, and it was given to me by my bride and my kids quite a few years ago now. It's a card. It's a deck of cards, 52 cards, and they punched holes in it. And on each card, they took turns writing something they were thankful for about me. And the fact that the three of them could come up with 52 of them is pretty impressive. But as I thumb through them now and I think about what my children said about me back then and what my bride said about me back then, and you have to ask the question, is that still true today? And the truth is, the last time I thumbed through it this morning, I thought to myself, you know, there's some things in here I need to get back to doing better. But there were also things in there I could go, oh, man. Because my daughter, who's now a mommy, is doing the very thing that she thanked us for doing. You see, it's not in the suffering, it's in the sacrifice. What are we willing to give up? God, Jesus was willing to give up so much because he loves us. And isn't that always the challenge for people in Christianity? Well, I'm afraid of what I have to give up. I like to have fun, and I can't be a Christian and have fun. I don't know about you. I'm a Christian. I have a pretty good time. I like to have friends. Well, I have friends. I like to spend my money. Well, I spend my money. Think of all the reasons people give in opposition to being a Christian when we know it's not true. We can identify with Christ in his glory. Philippians 2:3 says this: do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. What child is this? This is a child that did something for no other reason than it was the right thing to do. That's pretty amazing to me. You see, if anyone had the right to be selfish and conceited, it's Jesus. If you've ever had the opportunity to be a parent, as a parent, isn't there every now and then you have a flash of conceitedness when your kids, they're just not valuing things the way that you think they should? And you think to yourself, do you understand what I do to provide this for you? And you play with the box. It's human nature. But it wasn't Jesus' nature. He didn't do it for a pat on the back. He didn't do it so the world might say, well, look at Jesus. He's one of the greatest gods of all gods. He did it out of love. There was no angles. There was no selfishness. It was completely sacrificial. And he did it because he counted you and I more than himself. What child is this? The Father exalted him in his resurrection. How do we know that Jesus is who he claimed to be? Because he's alive. If Jesus were not alive, my friends, we are wasting our time. If Jesus were not alive, then grab you some Buddha. Grab you some Muhammad. Grab you some Krishna. Grab you some Jimmyism. Just grab whatever you want to grab. But God glorified his Son and validated everything that he said because he resurrected him from the dead.
Man.
What child is this? This is a living child. Secondly, the Father honored him with the name Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. When was the name Jesus selected? You know, when you find out you're going to be a parent, you might walk into that with some names in mind, but you start kind of generating some names, right? And you start whittling them down. I wanted to name Lindsay Micaiah. Obviously, I lost. But you start generating. Can I ask you this? When was Mary told the name of Jesus? The angel told Joseph, you shall name him what? Jesus. 33 years later at the resurrection, he's given the name above all names. You know why? Because God knew his son would be what he had promised to be. He gave him the name and he fulfilled the name in process. That's how confident God was in his son. He gave him the name above all names, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. You see, here's the challenge that we face. What child is this? This is a child that every knee will bow to.
Amen.
The question is will we do it voluntarily or not? Now, I'm going to give you something extra. Can I give you something extra?
Yes.
This is like a Black Friday giveaway. May I suggest to you this? That every knee shall bow before Jesus, and every single one of them will be voluntarily. You and I have done it out of faith. Those who will not do it out of faith will do it out of the knowledge that Jesus is who he claims to be. They'll still be lost. They'll still be heartbroken. But they will kneel with the full knowledge that Jesus is Lord. The beautiful thing is you and I have done it by faith through grace. And that's what we're inviting people to do on this side of eternity. The Father crowned him as Lord. If our greatest need had been information, then the Lord would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, then God would have sent us an attainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior.
Amen.
What child is this? He's the Savior of the world. He is the reason for this season. He's the reason for every season.
That's right.
See, the beautiful thing about being a Christian is I have Christmas every day.
Amen.
I don't have to stock it up for 25 days after Thanksgiving. I get to unwrap that gift every morning. When I look into my bride's eyes, or I walk out into his creation. This morning was beautiful. God wanted me up at 5 o'clock this morning. Trust me. Never more clear have I. Now, if I'm being honest, there was a part of me that goes, okay, fine, I'm just getting up.
I will.
But I want you to know, when I stepped out into the darkness and could feel that breeze, and I get here on campus and it's still, oh man, I'm going to tell you, it's beautiful. I watched the sun come up. It's awesome. You see, God knew what I needed. I needed a Savior. All these other things will fall in line when I have a Savior. What the world needs more than these things is a Savior that sets everything else in tune. It's like having an instrument. You can have all the instruments you want, but if you're not in tune, then there's glorified door holders. So what is our response to the question, what child is this? Over your lunch today, I want you to think about it. Cowboys don't play today. How about them? Mm-hmm. When the world asks us, what child is this during this Christmas season, what's our response? He's the sinless Son of God who gave up everything.
Amen.
To offer me everything.
Amen.
And offer you everything. God loves us where he finds us, but he loves us too much to leave us there.
Amen.
God offers us forever, 1 minute at a time. God offers us a place called heaven. And I want you to know, this life could be pretty good too. Even with its challenges, a bad day with Jesus is better than a good day without him. Amen?
Amen.
So my question to each of us as we begin this journey into the Christmas season. And Miss Susan, I know you're going to have the countdown, but I'm going to have to stop looking at them because I don't want it to come too quick. I'm thinking about moving into the hospital because time moves half as fast in the hospital. Because I love Christmas time. But when the world asks, what child is this? Let's be sure we have a biblical, heartfelt, life lived answer. Because the only difference the child makes is the difference in us. I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas season. I hope that you give. I hope that you serve. I hope that you love. And I hope that you allow people to love you. All of those things are and more is possible because of the child that lives inside of you and I. Stands in heaven waiting for us, who's waiting to come again. Who knows? This may be our last Christmas. What if Jesus came back on Christmas? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?